Well, yes, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. My mom is in Connecticut or Vermont or somewhere. She didn't even tell me where she was going. She's just gone. So, but yeah, it's good to be here on a Mother's Day with you all. And I thought what we would do today is just take a look at a story of a mom in the Bible. And it's a story of Hannah. Many of you are possibly familiar with Hannah. Hannah was the mother of a man named Samuel, who was a very prominent figure in the Old Testament, very prominent figure in Israel's history. And Samuel, we see a whole lot of his life, but the first part of his life really deals with his mom. More than his dad, more than anything else, the first part of the story of Samuel that we see in the Bible has to do with his mom, who is a woman named Hannah. And so we'll take a look at Hannah's journey today. Now, the reason we do that, you know, each mom's story is unique. Because each mom is unique, and each child is unique. And so, you know, everybody's journey is a little bit different. And God wrote down Hannah's journey for us. It wasn't because Hannah's story or Hannah's journey is perfect, or because it's better than anyone else's. It's different. It's her story. And God wrote it down not to be like this template for this is what everybody has to do, or this is what a mom is supposed to be, or something like that. I think he wrote it down because each story is different. And moms, in particular, I think, as we walk through it, can see your story in there. You can see God interacting with Hannah and see that in your own heart and own life. And so much of the Bible, that's, I think, what God wants to do. He wants us to read it, see what's going on, and then see how that impacts us. And so, moms, as we talk through Hannah's journey here today, maybe you can see your own journey a little bit and let God speak to you as you kind of walk through your journey as a mom. So that's what we're going to do here. So if you have a Bible, you might want to open up to 1 Samuel. This is pretty early in the Bible. 1 Samuel, we're going to spend a little bit of time here, just in the first chapter mostly, and just look a little bit at this story of Hannah, okay? So just to set the stage a little bit, we see that Hannah was married. Her husband's name was a man named Elkanah. We'd never really heard of him before now. Back then, things were a little bit different. This man had a couple of wives, and Hannah was one of them. And by all accounts, it wasn't a bad thing. You know, verse 5 says that Elkanah loved Hannah. He, you know, she had a husband who loved her. They were provided for, you know. In a lot of ways, Hannah's life was going well, but she didn't have any children. And that was hard for her. And it was really, really hard for her because her husband's other wife did have children, and that was even harder yet. And so Hannah is married, has a, you know, kind of a good thing going, but doesn't have any kids. And that is a big deal to her. And in fact, it said that she was, you know, bitter in her soul. She would cry. In verse 8 of chapter 1, they would go to this tabernacle every year, kind of a family vacation or a family trip, and they would go, and Hannah would cry every time because she was reduced to tears. It says she would not eat. And in verse 8, her husband says this to her: "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be so downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?" And I think that there's a couple of implications here. One is that husbands don't get it. But one implication here, and I think it's true, is that there is some kind of a strong connection between moms and kids. You know, God's plan for everyone is different. But if God's plan for you is to be a mom, there is, I think, put in you, moms, a strong connection, a desire, a longing, a closeness, something that can only be filled by those children, if that's God's plan for you. And it's hard to put your finger on, it's hard to quantify, but it's something that is deep inside of you that is very, 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 very powerful. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Hannah had all kinds of things going for her. Her husband loved her. She was provided for. She was, you know, life was going along well, and yet there was this deep, deep burning longing for children because God had put that in her. And that relationship between a mom and a child was something that nothing else could touch. It's unlike anything else. And her husband, bless his heart, didn't get it, you know. I'm better than 10 sons. And he's trying to encourage her and comfort her here. But what's the implication? He says, why are you crying, honey? I love you. I take care of you. Aren't I better than 10 sons? And she doesn't say it, but the implication is, no, you're not. You're not. You're great. I'm really grateful for you, husband, but you're not the same. It's not the same thing. And nothing is the same. And I think, moms, you understand that probably more than anyone else. And I don't think that anybody else can quite understand that other than a mom. Elkanah didn't. I don't get it. My wife and I have three kids, and I remember when Sue was pregnant, you know, when we're pregnant, for me, that's a waiting period. And at some point, I'm going to meet my kids when they're born. Not for Sue. Sue connected with those kids in her heart, in her soul, when she was carrying them. And there was a connection there. There was a longing. There was something between a mom and a kid that is different than any other relationship. It's a God-given, powerful thing that nothing else will satisfy, and only moms understand it. It's different than a relationship between a husband and a wife. It's different than a relationship between a father and a child. Something about moms. And I think we see that here with Hannah. And I think, moms, you probably understand that in ways that we don't. So Hannah had this strong, strong longing, a desire for children, this God-given burning inside of her to be a mom, and it wasn't happening. And so she had to give that strong desire to the Lord. She had to give it, not the kids, she didn't have them, she had to give the desire, that burning desire for kids to the Lord. And in verse 11, it says, and she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. She had to give that desire for children to the Lord, I think. And it's interesting that this was a desire, I think, that God put in her. God had given her this longing for kids. And so many women, God has given you that longing. And it wasn't happening. And it wasn't being fulfilled. And God said to her, take that deep, deep longing you have. What feels like the greatest need in your life. What feels like the most burning question in your life right now, Hannah. Take it and submit it to me. Give it to me. And what that looks like, I think, and what Hannah did, I think, is say to God, you know what? I long for this, but you're the one that decides if and when that longing is fulfilled. I think that's what it looks like to submit our desires to the Lord. To say to God, to be honest, I long for this, God. I desperately want this. Oh, please let me have this, but you give it to me if and when you want to. And Hannah had to do that. Hannah had to submit her desires, even her God-given desires, to the Lord. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard, hard thing to do. And all of us have had to do that. And moms, again, you probably understand that in different ways. But Hannah certainly had to submit this desire to the Lord and say to God, I long for this, God. I want it. Please give it to me. But you fill this need if and when you want to. And when she said that, it's interesting what happened. You know, before that, it said that Hannah, her face was downcast. She wouldn't eat. She was just distraught. And all of this struggle was going on. When she took that desire to the Lord and said, God, you take this. You give me children if and when you want. It says that her face brightened. She went and ate. Something inside of her was released. when she took that desire, that God-given desire, and submitted it to him. She still didn't have a son, still didn't have a child, didn't know if or when she was going to get one, but something let loose in her heart. And she says she went home, and her face was glad, and she ate. When she did that, and I don't have this verse, but it's just so interesting that when you give God permission to do what he wants to do, that's always a good thing. And God did give her this at the right time. And in verse 19 and 20, it says, the entire family got up early the next morning. They went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. And so this great desire, this longing that she had for a child, when she submitted it to God, something changed inside of her, and then God did give her a son at the right time, when God wanted to, when God was ready, he gave her this son. And so then Hannah got to do the thing, moms, that Mark was talking about. She got to live as a mom. And it's interesting. Sometimes we long for things without really knowing what it is that we're longing for, right? I want to have a kid, and then I wish my kid would go to grandma's or something, because it's hard sometimes. And Hannah, God granted her wish. And moms, you know that for every second you have thinking, oh my goodness, what have I gotten into? You have days and days and days so grateful. And that's what Hannah got to do. She lived as a mom. She lived her life just doing what moms do. And, you know, we don't know all of what that looked like for Hannah. I don't know what the day-to-day routine looked like exactly, but it probably looked pretty similar to what yours looks like, moms. With a young kid, you're feeding that baby and you're caring for that baby. And like Mark said, there are some sleepless nights, and that baby gets sick, and you have fears for that baby, and there are dangers, and all of the things, moms. But Hannah lived as a mom, and probably in a big way, her life began to be, in some ways, filled with that boy. And moms, that happens, doesn't it? When you have a little one, your life begins to get filled with that little one. And that's a good thing. That's a good, good thing. I was watching last Friday night at the Edge, that's our college ministry, and Justin and Emily Wickman, Justin is one of the guys that has really taken over the running of the Edge, and it's great. And so Emily is excited, and she wants to serve with him. And so the two of them have been, you know, they kind of came up through the Edge together. They got married. They served in the Edge together. And so when Justin took on this leadership, they're doing it together with another couple. But on Friday, now the Wickmans have two little ones. Grayson is probably two, perhaps, and Cademan? He's a newborn. So we're at the Edge. Justin's down front. He's working. He's doing what he's doing, and he's serving, and he's involved in the Edge, and doing kind of the same stuff that he's always done with the Edge. And Emily's in the back with two little boys, and it's just like a little swarm of bees. And, you know, and she's just watching the little ones in the back, and she's feeding one, and she's chasing one down the hall. And her life is different than it was, and it becomes dominated by these little kids. And that happened with my wife. It happened with every mom, doesn't it? It just happens, and that's okay, because you live your life as a mom. And that strong desire for children, when they come, it shapes you, it changes you, and your life experiences just begin to change, and that's an okay thing, and that's what Hannah did here. We don't know how long it happened. We don't know how long it happened. Here in verse 23, I'll start reading in verse 21. It says, the next year, Elkanah and his family went up on their annual trip to offer sacrifices to the Lord. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Whatever you think is best, Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. And we see that Hannah, her life changed because she was a mom. And instead of going on the trip, you know, now she's staying home with the little one. And all kinds of things changed for her. And she lived her life as a mom with all of the joys, with all of the struggles, probably, with all of the sleepless nights, with all of the just all that goes into it, moms. And I always, you know, again, I have three kids, and I would get up in the morning, and I would go off, and I'd be gone all day, and stuff would happen at the house, and I didn't know what happened at the house. Sometimes I'd come home, and Sue would still be in her pajamas, you know, with three little kids, and because you just don't have a whole lot of time to take a shower and get dressed, you're just going. And it was never fair, because I would walk in the door, and I'm a hero just for coming home. I just walk in the door, and dads, yeah, moms are saying, yes, that's right, and it's not fair. I've been here all day with these kids. And dad walks home, and he's a hero. But mom lives her life with those kids. And you know what? Those kids connect to mom in ways that they don't connect to me. And that's just true. My kids have connections with their mom that they don't have with me because she poured her life into them in a way that I didn't. And that's good. And I think that that's right. And that's what happened with Hannah. We don't know how long. It says that she kept him until he was weaned. We don't know how long that was. Perhaps that was 2 years. Perhaps it was five. We don't know. But at some point, she just lived as a mom for a while, doing all of the things that a mom does. And it's interesting too, I think moms, you can relate to this, because I think moms, because you spend so much time with your kids, because they fill your world so much, you see them in different ways, or you see them probably more clearly than anybody else. Dads, I tended to focus on, you know, the big events. When could they sit up? You know, when could they walk? When would they ride their bike or something like that? And so I would see these, you know, big events. My wife would know when they smiled the first time. My wife would understand when that little one began to recognize faces, because she'd see their little eyes light up. My wife could recognize one cry versus another. Okay, that's a hungry cry. That's a I'm tired cry. That's an angry cry. She would understand these things that baby's crying. Oh, she wants this. How do you know that? Well, because she just knows. And Hannah lived that way. She just lived her life with this little one, just moms like you do. You live your life with this little one and you pour your life into it. And that little one responds to you. And that little one grows up and that little one trusts in you. And that's what Hannah did. Lived as a mom for a certain amount of time, we don't know how long. But then, just like all moms, got to a point in Samuel's life, in this little boy's life, where she had to let her boy go. And in verse 28 of chapter 1, it says, "Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And she took him, she took this little guy, and she had promised the Lord back before she knew if she was going to have kids, back when she was wrestling with that longing, and she submitted that desire to the Lord. She had told God, she'd made a promise, "I will give him to you for his whole life," and now she's keeping that promise, and she's letting him go. And you know what? That seems probably like something that's so strange, or you know, and it's different to take a young boy, we don't know how old he was, I'm sure he was 4 or 5 or 6 or something, and take him and then to leave him at the temple where he's now going to be a servant, he's not going to live with us. That's different for us. That doesn't, you know, really, we have a hard time understanding that in our culture. But moms, it really isn't any different than what you have to do. At some point, you need to turn your children over and let them go and live their life. And that had to be hard for Hannah. And it has to be hard for moms. To trust your children that you have poured your life into, to trust them to the Lord out in the world. My mom tells the story of when I went off to college as a freshman in college. And I was going to go up to Superior, and my buddy was going to pick me up at my neighbor's house, and we were going to drive up for college together. And so I left the house, you know, carrying a backpack and walked away. I walked to the neighbor's house and got in the car and left. And I didn't know this. For me, it's just an adventure. It's just, oh, I'm going to college. And my mom stood in the driveway and cried. Because her boy is leaving. And she had to let me go. You know, she couldn't walk with me and hold my hand. Come on, Robbie, let's go to college. You know, you get, let him go. And Hannah had to let her boy go. And moms, you know what that's like. Or moms, if you don't know what that's like, you know it's coming. You know that's coming. Where you turn them loose to the Lord. And it's really no different than surrendering that desire to the Lord, I don't think. Maybe it's different, maybe it's harder, I don't know. But just like she had longed to have a son and she had to submit that desire to the Lord, when she got a son and she poured her life into him, then she had to surrender him to the Lord and trust him to the Lord. That God would care for that little boy. That God would love that little boy more than she could. That God would provide for that little boy better than she could. Those are all issues of trust, I think. And Hannah had to trust the Lord. And moms, you understand that maybe more than anyone else. You understand that there will come a time when you let go, and that child that you have been connected to since they were in your womb, that child that you have poured your life into, you've watched every single small step that child has taken, that child that has dominated your time and attention for so many years is going to walk away, going to leave, and you got to let him go. And that's what Hannah had to do. She had to let him go. And I'm sure there was all kinds of, that was hard. That's not an easy thing to do. And yet she did it. But he never really was gone from her heart. She never stopped being mom. And in chapter 2 here, verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, each year his mother, Hannah, made a small coat for him and brought it to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. You know, you turn your kids loose, but it's not like, you know, okay, you're gone and woohoo, I'm done with them now. And no, your heart is still with them and you long for them. And Hannah, every year, she'd make him a little coat and bring it. And moms, you understand that, I think. If your kids are grown up and leaving the house, they're not leaving your heart. And that connection with them doesn't break. It isn't broken when they leave, just like it wasn't with Hannah. And Samuel was always her boy, I think. Samuel was always her boy. And that's certainly true of me and my mom. My mom is 78 now, and she almost 79. And she, you know, I'm 52, and I've been out on my own since, well, I left the house that day when I was 18 and walked off to college, and I really haven't been back since. That's a long time ago, and yet I'm still her boy. I know it. And she still, her heart is still connected to me. And moms, you probably know that more than anyone, because that doesn't end ever. Your mom for the rest of that kid's life, for the rest of your life, and that's a good thing. But the whole thing, and this is, you know, all of those things, all those specific things that happened with Hannah, her journey, some of them are the same as yours. You can probably see pictures of your own journey there. But here's something I think that is true of all of you moms, or can be true of all of your moms. And it's in chapter 2, verse 1. And with all of the uncertainty, with all of the heartache, with all of the coming and going, with all of the excitement of hopes fulfilled, all of the heartache of letting go, in midst of all of this, this is what Hannah says when she looks at the whole journey. Then Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong." The whole journey for Hannah, I think, was filled with joy. Not each particular part wasn't exciting, because there was heartache in it. There was uncertainty in it. There was hard work in it. And yet there was the joy of having those longings fulfilled and having a son. There was the joy of raising him up. There was the laughter of seeing him learn to walk. There was all of the, it was the good and the bad together. But Hannah, when she looked at the whole journey of being a mom, this is what she said: my heart rejoices in the Lord. My heart rejoices in the Lord. And I think that every mom's journey, this can be true of it. If, and this is where I think Hannah did such a good job, she took her journey with the Lord. Her mom's journey really was hand in hand with the Lord. She talked to him about it at the beginning. She talked to him about it in the middle. She talked to him about it at the end. I think she was just taking this journey with the Lord. And by taking this journey with the Lord, there's great joy in it. Because you know what? Elkanah, her husband, says, "Aren't I better to you than 10 sons?" And the answer is, no, you're not. But God says, "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" And the answer, moms, is, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And God, walking on this journey with the Lord, makes your sons and your daughters a joyful thing. In the midst of all the heartache, in the midst of all the uncertainty, in the midst of all the fun, in the midst of all the successes and failures, all of that is going to happen. But if you walk this journey with the Lord, like Hannah did, it's a joy. Your heart rejoices in the Lord, and your kids are a blessing to you. Your kids are a joy to you, I think, as God intended it to be. So moms, I don't know what your journey is like. Perhaps you haven't begun that journey, and there are women here who are working through that longing, perhaps, to be a mom. There are moms here who have those little ones, and you're in the midst of those sleepless nights and lots of work. There are moms here, like my wife, or we're in the process of letting our kids go. They're growing up and moving out. And there are moms here who your kids have been gone for years, and now you're a grandparent. Wherever you're at in your journey, mom, I would just encourage you, recognize that God walks this journey with you. And joy comes not from your kids, not from doing momdom right. Joy comes from being a mom with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Your heart will rejoice in your kids and being a mom. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you really understand this. Lord, it's hard for me to speak about being a mom because I'm not one. But God, you understand it completely. And you can speak to each of our moms. And we are so grateful for moms. We are so grateful for the blessing that you make moms to us and the blessing that you make us to our moms, Lord. We're thankful for that. And we just pray, God, that for each mom here, I just pray for each mom, that each one would take this journey, her journey, whatever it's going to be, she would walk it with you. And there's going to be all kinds of stuff that happens, unpredictable things, hard things, beautiful, wonderful things. It really is a journey. I just pray they would walk it with you so that they could look back and say, my heart rejoices in the Lord. You can do that, God. You're an amazing God. And we just thank you for our moms. In Jesus' name, amen.